yourself.
But that's why you're
ready. Okay. Good morning, everyone.
You said, young lady, that's where you're going to.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, May 31st, 2018, at 9 a.m. We are assembled in the BCC conference room for our morning county administrative workshop. Item number one is under legal. 1A is draft ordinance number 2018-XXX, an ordinance pertaining to forest practices and repealing ordinances 85-6 and 85-6E.
That is correct. That's the title of the ordinance. This is the latest draft. We brought this last week, I want to say, on Tuesday, and since then, other revisions have been have found me, and I've tried to incorporate those in. I have incorporated the one from Mr. Streeter. And so this is another opportunity to polish the draft and perhaps send it on down the line.
I came in last night and got, hopefully, what was the final?
Yes,
final.
This is the one that you have, Commissioner.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And so I had a couple of things. Some of them are not substantial. They're just clarifications. For example, under G, sustained yield, I wanted to include the idea that it was sustained yield applied to the harvest land-based, the whole portfolio, not per stand or per lot. Sure. If you do that, it really reduces the management opportunities. And I'm looking for, you know, what are people going to read literally?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to figure out a way that we're explicitly clear to say that sustained yield applies to the whole portfolio. None of the things that I have as proposals to change are substantial. The most would probably be under 4.05. All timber sale contracts shall be approved by the Board of County Commissioners, notwithstanding Josephine County's administrative policies and procedures. The designated representative may amend the timber sale contracts. Take out price and term. Okay. One of the examples that I can remember is that we had to put down some aggregate gravel at a certain time of year to facilitate harvest in an off-season. You know, usually they do it this time of year, but the market or the need for the wood, they wanted to get in. And so I don't exactly remember how we did it, and this is before Streeter got here, but I think we paid for half the rock and they paid for half the rock. It was like $18,000 to gravel the road to get them access. We chipped in $9,000, they chipped in $9,000, and they got the job done, and we got our road improved. So it's things like that that are not the price of wood, and it's not the term of the contract, but without that kind of ability of the, we had to bring it back to the board to do that, and it held them up, you know, a week or two to just get that in, and they really needed to do it then, like at the moment. So.
And we have a similar example we'll be talking about in a few minutes with the contract mod.
Okay.
Yeah. And it kind of highlights exactly what you just.
I just didn't
out.
Want to be restrictive. Is that if that makes sense?
No.
We're out of the room for just a second, but I wanted to reduce it from just price and term. There's other things in the contracts that are unforeseen that we should give the ability. I mean, price and term are the biggest ones. Everything else is littler than that, so we certainly should give him, not be restricted to those big items. He should be able to do a lot of different little
things. So you have some changes you want to bring forth on it? I was out of there for a second, but
that was all. That was the most major one that I had. Everything else is just really simple.
So we don't have this in our packet.
Lily and I don't have it, and it's not on the computer.
And I haven't seen it.
It wasn't in our packet either, but we had agreed to talk about it, and I don't think the final draft had kind of been distributed, so. I'm not sure how it was distributed. I just went and asked for it. So maybe by end of day Friday we can have this so it can be posted?
Yes.
Based on what you said, I don't disagree with either of what you said. And yes, it's not sustainable yield by a stand. Otherwise,
sustained yield.
Sustained yield by a stand.
I didn't want to construe that it could be without explicitly saying it's applied to the whole portfolio. It doesn't change anything. It just makes it very, very clear.
Okay, so for the sake of it being a draft, you can make those changes, Wally, that had concerns about, and then get this back to us, and then we'll go from there?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
It's basically what you're looking at right now. None of mine are really that substantial.
Okay, all right.
What we're trying to look for is, you know, what is that thing that we haven't thought of?
Yeah.
That should be in here. Everything that's in here, I think, is really well crafted, has been vetted, thoroughly thought over. You guys just need to make sure that, well, have you thought of this? How come you didn't define that? What about, I don't know.
Okay.
I can't think of anything.
How soon do we want to send this, start this down the trail?
I'd like it on its first reading next Wednesday.
Okay. So you're shooting towards the WBS and you don't see anything in it. Should hold that up And if we see something today or tomorrow, but we can just put it on there and change it between now and then.
We could. Totally.
So I thought we were clarifying forest lands was county-maintained forest lands in the definition. Because this says the Board of County Commissioners may designate forests by board order. And remember, we were trying to clarify, we can't just designate anybody's land forest. It's the county's. And I
county managed, I think, was the word.
Yeah, I thought we were putting something in that definition.
Okay. C.
Yeah.
And is it just a different section? Yeah, C is where I was looking. Is that that doesn't say anything about county.
C?
No, definition C, forest land.
I have maximized the resiliency of county forest owned. I mean, forest county forest owned is referenced, but I think just in the opening, we talked about this before, in the opening sections of whereas, it needs to be just all county property, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Links or forest lands or county owned.
County managed?
Yeah,
county owned.
Any county owned woodlot brush.
That way there's no there's no impression that this applies to anybody else's land. It's county owned land.
Forest land means any county owned.
There's a reference to it. Support that with. Okay, county owned, got it. And there's a reference within section 4 that I just want to make sure we're consistent on or get the board's take on, because the designated representative, here it is, it's 4.13. The designated representative is empowered to acquire forest lands on behalf of the county. Okay, I think that's going to work. I mean, I think the proposal here is to put any county owned woodland into the definition of forest land. And then, I think, is everyone satisfied with leaving 4.13 as is?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be okay to do that. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't restrict his, by changing the definition, doesn't going to restrict what the board is trying to provide him, his authority. Okay.
Because until we own it, it's not designated. But him acquiring to designate, long as it happens in the right order.
Yeah, I think that's it. By the way, the definition of forest land came from statute. I found a statute that defined forest land conveniently enough. And so, more or less, just cut and pasted that.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
going to
share the rest of those with them later.
Okay. The county has substantial amount of merit in its managing forest lands or maintain to vigorously produce. I mean, I'm inserting the word maintain.
415. We may want to consider review and approve regularly.
Okay. Not annual.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
415.
Okay, got it.
Maybe change that to regularly
instead of annually.
Okay.
And you already got the one we talked about earlier, Wally, the contract modification one?
Yes, I did. Okay. So I've made Commissioner Harris edit there.
Yeah, under four forest practices, forest lands shall be managed pursuant to a 10-year average sustained yield formula I added and based on a regularly maintained and annually adjusted inventory.
Which one is that?
It's just the first heading under four for forest practice, that first sentence.
You said annually adjusted?
I wrote it down. It's and based on a regularly maintained and annually adjusted inventory.
Okay. Got it.
It doesn't say anything that we don't already say, so it's just making sure that it's in there.
Everybody good?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll just get this revisions made, and we'll put this on WSBS for next.
We'll do the first reading.
That'll be swell.
Okay.
Is that enough time?
Okay. Okay, and we're elected to move 3B up because it's forest reissue. We'll put 3B in here as the next one, which is 3B is forestry Walker Complex Timber Sale Contract Number 2016 T-3. Modification number one between Josephine County and Greg Lyles Logging, LLC.
So this is a request by the purchaser to change the payment terms on the contract from the periodic payments, which in 2016 had 50% of the sale value was due in the first year when we signed the contract, 25 the second, 25 the third year. He has paid everything but about $30,000 of his contract balance, and he wants to change that from that balance being due on June 24th to mill direct payments. He's currently logging on the sale, and we're getting mill direct payments right now, so I think he's going to be really close to having it paid off anyway, but I wanted to make sure I was in front of it in case he didn't, and he'll just continue through the sale to have it paid directly to the county instead of making the loan.
Yeah, I think he's shown by paying all but $30,000 of it that he's not, you know.
Yeah, and there's no risk to the county on this, and in addition to that, we're not in risk of not getting our revenue. We've gotten all of our revenue plus that we projected in our budget.
Do we want to extend it by 90 days or something of that sort?
It's just a different formula.
It's just I'm changing the clause in the contract that says on year one you pay this, year two you pay this, and year three you pay this to, okay, you've already paid all of this, now you're just going to pay it. When you deliver it to the mill's going to pay the county directly.
Okay.
So every MBF that he harvests and delivers to the mills are required to pay the county
pay back
for that.
Okay. I have no problem with that. Commissioner Morgan?
No, that's fine.
Question on that? Okay, good. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great if you were there on Wednesday with Wally to talk about this.
Okay, put it on the calendar. Thank you.
Good. So that will be board of the WBS also. Okay, going back to item 1B, draft ordinance number 2018-XXX, an ordinance relating to firearms.
And is this in the packet today?
Yes.
Yes, but Wendy's booting my packet back up again.
Okay, so this is the draft.
But I read it this morning, yes.
Okay. And this is the opportunity to the board to refine, polish, rewrite, take whatever action.
I had sent you something last night about putting in a whereas in the front about any reference to Supreme Court decisions on the Second Amendment might be an interesting reference. I'm not sure if there is anything.
There is. Now, there's a little bit of a risk involved there that I won't delve too far.
Probably both sides of the
EU. And if it gets superseded, and then the first case that's going to get cited, if the ordinance ever gets challenged, yes. And so there's a balance to be found.
The other one along those lines is, for me, referencing under 4.03 all of the said ORSs. If the proposed referendum is held by the voters of Oregon, it turns into an ORS.
And does so it nullify the ORS? I said, if the referendum and it passes, does all the current rules go away?
No.
Okay.
No, it would be in addition to. Okay. But there's all these restrictions and provisions that we're referencing as law, but we're picking and choosing, so to speak, which ORSs we choose to say we're okay with these ORSs. But what we're not okay is with the proposed potentially new ORS if the voters approve it. And it's very, it's like, really?
You either
say that state law is state law and you're okay with that, even being in conflict with the Oregon State Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, but then you're saying we're drawing a line in the sand and no more ORSs relative to Second Amendment restrictions and the right to bear arms. It seems a little odd.
So you say just taking out 4.03?
I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there, and that was actually one of my thoughts, is why are we referencing any ORSs that we say are okay with and potentially in conflict with the Second Amendment, our charter, or even provisions in the Oregon Constitution? So
you're saying get it right back to the simplification and not...
I find it hard to argue that we're okay with all of these other ORSs, and I think I am, actually, but... You know, people who have been convicted of felony charges may not be able to. But I'm not so sure that short-barrel shotguns is something that I'm opposed to. I really hadn't thought about it. I don't know, but it's an ORS, 166.27. You can't have machine guns, really? Can't have silencers?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. But once we are starting to say that, oh, yeah, right to bear arms shall not be restricted, except for these dozen
restrictions.
And the new ORS that's being proposed and referred to the voters, if that should be upheld, you know, it's like, what are we saying?
It's a point.
Oh, I think the wording of 01 and 02 is enough. You don't need 03 in there. But, I mean, it's because what 01 and 02 say is simply, if it's simply possession, we won't allow it. If it's simply this, we won't. And so that's kind of already restricting it.
I didn't think 3 was that bad. I just think 4 does it.
4.03?
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. I heard something. I just heard 3. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that we need to decide it today. I think we just need to kind of... That's a fairly large trajectory change from, yeah, I think, what the other ORSs are referencing. I like stuff being fairly pure in thought, and it's defensible from that standpoint. I'm not weighing in on all these other ORSs that I don't really want to. All I want to do is say that, hey, I'm just looking to say, this is what the Second Amendment says, this is what provision in the Oregon Constitution, we don't reference that.
No, I can find it.
We just reference the Oregon Constitution.
Yes.
And we do reference the Charter, but not a specific provision, I think, and that's wise, because if there's a Charter review, I don't expect that we'll lose that perspective, that concept from the Charter. But if you reference it as 26.01 or whatever it is, it won't be 26.01 in the next version.
And no, and
this ordinance won't be.
It's actually one of the numbers that's duplicated in our charter.
That's right.
So
that's
you don't want to reference 29.1 because it is duplicated.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I think that's wise. But it's not likely to change from the ordinance.
Is this the first 29.1 or the second 29.1?
I think it's the second.
I think that's going to be fixed in the code.
That was one of the questions they asked. One of the 7 pages with the questions, and then the code. We're going to present all this stuff, but
okay,
as a typo, yes. The provision
is
not coming
out,
but yeah,
definitely is, and it would provide clarity to any time you're referencing, you know, oh, it's 29.01 or whatever.
I think the other is search and seizure or something.
So, do you want to take all of these ORSs out and just get very, very simple?
Yeah, I think Commissioner Morgan's proposal of taking out 4.03, that's a big trajectory change, so I don't know that I'm suggesting anything. I was just pointing out a kind of an inconsistency with where the philosophy is derived. My philosophy would go back to the foundation, go back to the root. What is it that you're looking to support? And I think that's easier to defend than...
If you're taking out 03,
muddy,
which references to all the ORSs, and you're leaving in 04, which goes right back to the ORSs again.
Yep. They're just duplicated.
No, notwithstanding section 4.0, 4.0. Those don't reference ORSs.
Keep going. Second page.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just learned to read this.
You go right down the list again.
Oh, of course, yes.
C, D, E, F, G. Yep. They're all back to the ORSs.
Those are exactly.
I'm not making that proposal. I'm just saying that...
You made it.
Well,
that's the way everybody else.
I'm not making a problem, but you made it.
Well, I was in response to what you were saying.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, that's okay, Emma. I'm just trying to think through. You know, I don't know. You gave me something to ponder, and I don't. The only one
that's
I had mentioned.
That's why I said I don't know that we make this decision today.
Right.
There could be some reason why it should be in there. But I find it a little hypocritical that we're okay with these ORSs that restrict the Second Amendment on a dozen different provisions, but we're not okay with the proposed one. And who's making the decision?
I'd rather throw the larger net and not get into the details. The larger net is the right to keep and bear arms. The Second Amendment, period. That's it.
So here's another one. What defines arms? And then later on in Section 2, we talk about Section 1. You take arms and you go to firearms. No, that's not what the Second Amendment, and I don't want to get into some philosophical debate, but it says the right to bear arms. That could be a club. That could be a knife. It doesn't define it as a firearm. It just says arms. And
that's for the NRA to defend, but I
But we're
I have some question I called this morning on J, which is armor piercing ammunition. What's the definition of that?
Yep. That one concerned me too.
And I thought, wait a minute, you know, full metal jacket stuff we used to go plinking with, that's could be considered so.
Well,
and Wally did clarify for me.
Yeah.
If we throw all of those out, I think it simplifies it as just a blanket statement. It's just a statement anyway.
Yeah.
If somebody comes here, then
I would want to defend half of these. Quite frankly, I'm looking at the one with minors. Well, what happened? You know, you're in the truck riding with your dad going hunting, and dad steps out, and you're the kid in the car in possession of the firearm that's in the window. Are you now charged because you're the one that has access and control? It's a level of, I think it keeps it simple. Yeah, felons aren't allowed to have firearms. They already aren't. Not that they don't.
Yeah.
They're already not allowed to do that. It's not.
But I don't know where the nuts and bolts of the Second Amendment need to be singled out in this particular ordinance. I think this one just needs to be a blanket ordinance that says this is our stand as the board.
So there's another one. So in the purpose and intent of this ordinance is to protect citizens against government encroachment upon an inalienable right to bear arms. All of those elements that are sectioned in 4.01 or 4.03, whatever they are, those are not government imposed. Those are either legislative, which is a government, but the one we're talking about right now, that's a referendum proposal. That's the people's right to speak on an issue. If it's imposed, it isn't the government who did it, it's the people who did it. And so what are we talking about here? It's not just government encroachment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just encroachment. So I what I would think I'd want to
take out that word governmental.
Broader. I hope I'm not throwing out stuff. That
No. Good points. All good points.
What about voter-approved laws? It's the idea that there's a lot of references to things that are coming out of Salem that are not necessarily reflective of the intent that our citizenry, hence the charter's provision, would like to see us stand up for. And so those were the big ones that I had. Let's revisit this. Those are two trajectory changes, I think, a little bit. Does that sound okay? I don't want to keep putting this off. But
when would that referendum would be in November?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a little bit of time. We can just get to. Do we have a waiting period or anything like 90 days again?
Yes.
So we just want to make sure we're not going to crowd up on that. Time seems to fly.
Well, what is our deadline for that?
Well, let's say 4 months from November. That would give us
July.
Time for two readings in 90 days. You seem to have gotten good sleep last night. So.
November is 11, so I just counted back four.
That sounds great.
So
that's July.
County Grants Pass High School.
Let's sit on this for one more weekly business session, and then if we can get it back for the next one, I think we'll be okay.
I play 7th at the Southern Oregon Mathletes.
You will beat me anytime.
Just one of those things.
I can't help a fifth grader with math right now. I've tried.
I can beat anybody in any athletic, but.
Okay, so we're editing this ordinance dramatically. So we want to back next Thursday.
Well, maybe next Tuesday. I don't want
next Tuesday.
I think part of this is just having some time to process the new information and. And have time to think through and come back with it.
Okay, all right.
Should I bring back this draft, or should I make some edits in the meantime?
Edits. I think we've got the right, Commissioner Morgan. I know that Dan's.
What's up?
Commissioner DeYoung was kind of definitive about that. Let's see what it looks like.
Sure.
Without those provisions.
Okay.
You know, going to the intent of what we're trying to get back to the foundation.
Yes.
I'm not so sure I support the whole thing in general, but. I wanted to get it right if I can get it right. So.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay. Item 1C is acceptance of bargain and sale deed from Good.
Good.
This is for the property at 150 Twilight, which is a drug nuisance property. It's in foreclosure, and the owners of the property, who are now owning the property and are being foreclosed on, the Goods, have agreed to give the property to the county so that the county can proceed with evicting the squatters and cleaning up the garbage and cutting down on the crime around the area. And so we would clean it up, shut it up, and then hold on to it and have authority over the property until the bank can
ultimately transfer it to the bank, I think.
Yeah.
And this is the property we've talked about that.
Yes.
Okay.
Would you lean on the cost of incurred by cleaning it up that the bank would be required to? I mean, I see it as a virtuous thing to clean it up and stuff, but then the bank gets this.
They get the benefit.
They get the benefit. They get the prime cleaned up, kicked out. They don't have to go through all that stuff.
We can't put a lien on it because we own it. So
during the transfer process, however, I suspect we can negotiate with the bank about the consideration that they provide.
To the bank. Right.
So let's say we spent thousands of dollars on this. The bank is probably saving money by not having pursued the foreclosure process.
Yeah, they collect it.
So I suspect there is a solution, a mutually agreeable solution.
If you wouldn't mind trying to get some sort of an email trail that just explains this, that we can go to somebody. I know the bank staff changes when we've gone through these things in the past.
Yes.
The guy you're talking to today is a woman, a different person the next day. I said, well, that's not what I agreed to. Well, that's what Steve agreed to last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and here's the email that says that.
Well, I think we're lining up in that.
That would be ideal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that 150 Twilight was in the paper last night.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Quite popular out there.
I make a motion to approve and accept the bargain sale deed for the good property.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. Okay, good job.
Thank you. The neighbors thank you.
Oh, well, we only had 2 calls there this weekend.
I hear there's 10
squatters. 2 calls this weekend.
Yeah. It was all over.
Okay, I think this. Any other questions illegal?
There was the other matter regarding sale contracts on properties. Does that sound like a good matter? Sale contract. Board order.
If it's my issue,
2017-03. This has to do with property sold for purchase price of $20,000.
Oh, yesterday at the auction, we had a gentleman who purchased 3 properties. None of them qualified for the $20,000 threshold to allow for a loan program that we've established. I think this board established it.
Yeah.
There's an interest rate associated. I think we wanted to keep that threshold at $20,000 to really not have to nickel and dime on smaller deals. However, all 3 of the properties that he put together, he owned, do qualify for that $20,000 threshold. And
if you put them together?
He was prepared to pay cash, but I think it facilitates his transactions better if he's just if he's able to do the loan. I'm okay with that. I think that makes sense, and I think it meets the intent of the order. The way I read it, or Pat read it to me last night, I think you can interpret it multiple ways, but my interpretation is that you need a $20,000 threshold, and he met that.
It would be
the
buyer meets a $20,000, not the property.
Right.
So if he has 5 properties and he's at $100,000, he's past the
ideally, if we could put it collectively into one contract, that would be ideal. I think we can facilitate that. I don't know. But however it goes forward, I think it makes sense. Plus, we get the 9% interest.
If I was a buyer, I wouldn't put all 3 under one contract because if I paid them off
the
one
buyer,
at a time,
then he should just pay for it.
Then
we're the seller, and we say this is what you have to do. It's in one contract. You don't make payments. We take all 3 back.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's your.
That's my.
He doesn't agree to that.
He doesn't like that.
You only meet the 20,000 threshold because they're all 3 together.
Right.
So therefore, it has to be one contract, but they're all in the line.
Okay,
right.
Makes sense.
Okay, that sounds good. So that we will proceed with that particular transaction.
That's the policy.
Yep.
So going forward, if that happens, that
clarification.
We need to tell Helene and her deal to do that. The other thing is that I propose to the board that we make all properties that have previously gone to auction have the option of entertaining offers afterwards. Everyone except for the Ridgecrest property. I know what road it's on now. Not Denver, it's Ridgecrest. And I don't want that one to go by offer. It has to go back to.
How do you single that out? Do you put a threshold to say properties up to so many $1,000s?
We just designate that one's not available. It'll go to the next auction. And I think Helene and I talked yesterday, and we're going to be going for a false sale. We're going to be proposing a false sale to the board. So, and she's got a list that she's already started on and stuff. So I think that's. I don't want to give up a margin. on that one. That we, if there's no one negotiating, we're going to get 437 for it. And I think it's worth at
personally,
least
I think we that one may be a property, something of that magnitude needs to go outside of just advertising on KJO and the paper stuff. Turn that over, you know, maybe we
get
maybe
a realtor,
get a broker involved with a national syndicated thing.
We are, or we move Helene into getting that brokered out.
Yeah.
So that's what we.
She could do it.
She could
listed
do it.
On the MLS.
I think that's what we talked about that. Mm-hmm. So with the board's direction, that is that okay?
Because that may be money coming
so
from outside the area.
I thought, all right, so as far as making them available for, if we're going to a fall auction, why would we also want to make them available?
Because I don't think any of these are really looking at, I mean, if you looked at the properties over there, there were very few. All those that went had multiple interests.
Mm-hmm.
None of them had multiple interests that didn't sale. They didn't even have one interest.
Yeah.
So we're not looking. That was my philosophy, is you're not going to get it bid up. You're going to find somebody who says, that's the property I want, and nobody else is going to be interested. So.
And there's an entire process.
Yeah, it's not a one and done.
You guys don't know about it until it comes
out.
But she has authority to negotiate based on a predetermined formula.
Right. I'm okay with that. I mean, we did have a couple go just for the low end, and it was neat to see those families actually looked excited they got those properties. No one bid against them. And
I was surprised the number of bidders in the room that just sat there. I mean, there was a lot of people
watched
in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we, like, about first seven in a row had no takers. And I went,
I talked to a couple people. They just wanted to go to see what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
So
the advertising worked in that?
Yes.
Yep.
So can I clarify that the ones that would be offered as over-the-counter sales would only be the ones that didn't sell in this auction? Or do you want to go back?
Well, let's start with the ones that went in this auction.
Okay.
And I'll look at and make a recommendation with Helene.
How do we get that word out to the public? Because we
said it'll be posted on the website. And maybe we follow up with a KJO ad.
We said yesterday that no, these aren't, you know, don't come back afterwards if it doesn't meet the minimum. We're not interested. We said that yesterday.
Did she say that?
She did.
I wasn't paying attention.
She did say they will not be offered for sale after the auction.
She did say that, yeah.
Well, I think that had maybe previously been my position, but after looking at it, evaluating, I think I'm I want to get rid of these properties, and the difference in the delta between what we're going to get through an auction and a competitive bid and what we've got as a minimum, let's just get rid of them. And there's a number that may have not been on the auction today that have been in previous ones multiple times, and I'll take a look at that. We'll have a recommendation next week about moving those forward, too. I just think we need to get that list down. So it's nice to see the Rogue River Highway one.
Yes. Yes, that was good. There was a bidding war on that one.
Yep.
Bidding war, I like it. All right. Anything else? Yes?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Can we return to 1C briefly? And just want to make sure everyone's clear. We're seeking signatures on the deed for the good.
We signed
it. We got it.
Oh, you did sign it.
Okay.
Yep.
We'd be happy to comply with that request.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
It's done.
Sure. Anything you say, Wally.
You got it. Right.
I had met with Ponder Other, which isn't on here. Too bad. I met with Kate Lasky yesterday, and I talked about JCLI they don't have an intergovernmental agreement. They have an MOU. They must have something with the county. I would like us to work jointly on a IGA with the newly formed district to define the relationship of them utilizing the Grants Pass branch. We need to dust off the relationship and make sure that it's clear going into the future about what we expect and what they can expect from the county.
So we didn't do those in December?
Different than the lease agreement?
I don't know.
There's a lease agreement and there's a grant agreement.
Well, those are gone. We have a new lease agreement.
Oh, okay.
With the district.
Yeah.
Since December.
Yeah, that does make sense that the lease agreement might facilitate it. She was just looking for some stability and clarity. So we'll find out what her proposal is and say, you know, that's actually all satisfied in the lease. Oh, okay. Or, I don't know. She's just looking to shore up the potential loose ends.
So they're going to bring something to us?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what we don't have to worry about other than we see them.
Okay.
Okay. So thank you, Legal.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Moving on to item two, Food and Friends Project, Michael Cavallaro. Rogue Valley Council of Governments is here to give a presentation.
Morning, Michael.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. You guys seem chipper.
Appreciate your patience.
You learn it. I have the three contracts. I just thought I'd bring them by hand instead of mailing them. With my luck, something would have happened to them. And I've also got our revenues and expenditures to date. Sort of help with the conversation. And I'll go to the next one if she wants one.
Arthur, would you mind coming up?
He's writing still, so it'll
okay.
Be.
Okay.
He's looking busy.
Yeah, all right.
He's really had to do
my
that.
My grocery list, I had to get it. Oh,
hi.
Hi.
Michael.
Arthur. Yep.
See ya.
There you go.
That's the bread. Gallon of milk.
So we're in, I guess you could call it the final stretch of turning this eyesore into an asset.
Great.
As you know, we've got the contracts. We are, Dick Converse is taking care of the permitting process with the City of Grants Pass, the change of use, which really isn't a change of use, but that was cleared by the city. So now we just are in the permitting process. The contractor, as soon as we have the contracts, it's probably going to be about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. He said he's got to juggle some work, but it should be in the month of June when we start off. And a tentative projection is done by February. We'll see, but he seems to be pretty sure of that.
I heard December.
Yeah, but that was last month, and I added a month and a half or so, just, you know, optimism on the contractor's part.
That sounds like pessimism.
That was optimism on his part, reality on my part.
Okay.
It just, things are so busy now. So I'd rather overperform.
Is there incentive in the contract for him to finish now in December?
Mm-mm.
Let's do that.
Our incentive is just we're tired of this whole process. It's been almost 3 years. It'll be
about 3 years. Yeah, it's nice to have a carrot for the contractors. We do that on public works projects when you're ripping up a road.
Yeah, we just don't have the financing.
Yeah.
And you know, the fact of the matter is that we're still about $83,000 as a shortfall.
Yeah. How much was the purchase price? Can you say
$350,000.
Okay. So that comes out of this total?
We've done pre-acquisition costs. Those were inspections and all the procedure that got us to this point. We paid for the property. The engineering and architecture work is done. So we are left with, obviously, the labor standards, grant administration, and this $1.182 million for the renovation itself, which I know is a staggering amount. I was certainly shocked at that, but
I would be surprised if you couldn't build the whole thing for 1 point.
If you couldn't build it for 1 point?
Just tear the whole thing down and build a whole brand new building, you know, more purpose, more fitting your purpose.
You know, we thought about that. You know, you've got the demolition cost, but the additional space is going to allow us to put, give some, or lease some space to Team Senior and also Northridge, which is going to establish an adult daycare center. So the county doesn't have an adult daycare center at presently, and it'll be for long-term or day-to-day. So, you know, we thought that's a real asset in addition to the center.
Does that property lend itself to expansion? In other words, putting another building on that
it
property?
It does. It does. It's a 1.55, 1.5 acre property. Probably a solid third of it is unencumbered in the back, and there's room on the side. I already pointed out to Northridge that if they had a lot of demand, we could just build on one side of it.
Do you have an advisory committee locally? I mean, who provides local input as to what the need of the community, bridging that gap? I mean, it sounds like you've got some prospective tenants. I'm sure those are probably the right people to put in there, but is it your decision? Is it the COG's decision? Or is there a Grants Pass Josephine County Advisory, Senior Advisory Committee that's saying, we would love to see these people this service?
We have been discussing this with our senior advisory council. Both Jackson and Josephine County residents are on it. And actually, several of them are the ones, initially contacted Northridge because they knew that they were interested in looking at establishing some adult daycare. So, yeah.
Just as long as there's some sort of input, because I don't think we've provided any real clarity on, well, this is what we'd like to see from a board's perspective of what shortcoming the county might have. I know that I think Team Senior is a good opportunity to be in there.
Yeah, and actually,
it's a good fit.
Yeah, and she would like to have her veterans breakfast in there. That's grown pretty much. So
yeah, okay, great.
It seems like a good match. And then whatever other senior-related organizations want to have meetings or educational, we can provide the space.
Yeah, there'll be lots.
Let's see. So, a long time ago, I taught my son that the advantages of asking, because I said, you'll never get something you don't ask for. So I got him a meeting with a top paleontologist at the Smithsonian just by cold calling. So it was a good lesson for him. So I'm going to ask, can the county help us with this shortfall? We've gotten to, as you can see there, 1.643 million all by ourselves, and we do thank you for allowing us to apply for CDBG through the county, but this is all this money that we've managed to fundraise.
What does it cover? What is the delta, 82?
It's just what we lack for the construction.
It's not for any specific thing, so if you're putting in, at a house, you don't get ground countertops here with this. You get linoleum or formica.
We have valued engineer this thing. We wanted to do something a little nicer. We just can't do it. In fact, we were suspicious about the rising costs. You probably know in December we had
a re-review and an outlier.
Construction did a reconsideration, a bid, a proxy bid for us as to how much it would cost, and that's when we found out it was almost $300,000, probably more than what we had anticipated. So, that was at near the end of December, and we obtained the additional money from CDBG from what was left over in the year, so we didn't have to go through an application process, so we barely got that done. So we got $161,000 from CDBG additional, but that meant we had to raise another $108,000. So this 83 is what's left of the 108.
How much is your contingency?
$80,000, which is really slim considering it's a 50-year-old building. And the contractor told us that's pretty minimal, but we'll do what we can with that. CDBG hasn't said that that's too little, so we're just going to go with it. But we know that it's slim.
The tough part for me, Mr. Cavallaro, is that I haven't gone through that. Just the sticker price, you just subtract the price of the building, and then you've got, 1.3 million or 1.182 for the project. It goes to Commissioner DeYoung's point of, what can you build with $1.2 million? It feels like that should be more than enough to cover whatever it was necessary to put in the appropriate facilities to facilitate a really awesome food and friends program and everything. I mean, how much is a stove and tables and chairs and whatever it is? I don't know. For me, I couldn't even probably put down on paper and spend $1.2 million to come up with the resources necessary to facilitate.
Well, I know out at the fairground we're getting some numbers together for the commercial kitchen in the commercial building out there, and it's in excess of $100K to upgrade that commercial kitchen, and I think that's even getting a couple stoves donated, the stove and oven part.
So if you have to build a commercial kitchen, and this is a warming kitchen, so it's less. It's a little over $100,000. A commercial kitchen is about $200,000 if you want to outfit something that really is truly commercial. We didn't go that route because of the funding and because we don't need a commercial kitchen. But we did lay out enough floor space in case our deal with Access ever fell through, then we would come up to here in Josephine County and actually prepare all the meals for both counties. If we had to, that's our contingency plan because you never know. There could be a fire at access. Yeah. Or they could just say, no more, we're going another route. So we're just trying to be careful with that, but we didn't want to spend the money up front if we didn't have to.
I didn't mean to be critical in any sense. It's just, you know, all I'm doing is looking at broad numbers.
Oh, I was shocked too, but we have to, I mean, every window's got to be replaced because they're all the sills are rotten in there, single pane, that's garbage. Both furnaces have to be replaced.
Yeah.
All the flooring has to be replaced. There are like four different types of carpeting in there. You know, new automatic doors because there aren't any automatic doors. The parking lot has to get like a 2 or 3 inch lift on it.
Do you have a fire suppression system in there that needs to be upgraded or not? No, is it not required?
We're going to have a fire alarm. It's not a requirement because it's not an overnight stay, but we are going to put in a fire alarm. Connected with a fire station. We just can't afford a sprinkler system. Again, that got valued engineered out. So we have had to do a lot. Oh, siding, completely new siding on it. Ramp has to be replaced.
Is the ramp just not ADA?
It's cracked. It's seated. Yeah, and we have to put a couple of windows in the sanctuary because it's dark and uninviting. Yeah. So at least we'll get some light in there. So it's...
Is this anything that's in the regional solutions wheelhouse?
No.
Not at all?
Okay. No, and the governor's representative down here has been part of our board meetings, and he doesn't see anything.
He's not offering anything?
No. As you can see, I mean, we've gone to pretty much every foundation you've probably heard of, and we've gotten refused by a couple of them. Murdoch, Meyer, we've just been reduced to a good neighbor from Ford, because that's one of the ones that we still got pending, because they don't want to fund anything like this. Senior resource center, senior meals seems to have fallen out of favor with some of the foundations. They're more focused on kids and culture and community building, and so, you know, the bricks and mortar stuff, it's not as attractive as it should be, and that's been really frustrating. Mm-hmm. We've had a time of it, I'll tell you.
We baby boomers knew that was coming.
Yeah, I know. Well, it should be actually heightened since there were so many of us coming down the line.
Being outvoted.
So. Yeah, I guess.
It's okay.
So we do, as I point out at the bottom here, we do have three pending applications. I don't have a lot of hope to get a lot out of that, but... You know, we'll see. I mean, First Interstate here in Grants Pass, we applied to. We'll see with them. I haven't had any word. Cow Creek, I think, will come through with maybe 9 or 10,000. And Ford, I have no idea. If they didn't think it was fundable through their main process, I don't know about a good neighbor grant. But
Evergreen, do they get involved in anything like this?
We didn't get an expression of interest from them. And actually, fundraising here has been pretty light. We haven't been able to attract any real interest. You know, I talked to Steve Rowe, and he basically said, you know, you're not based in Grants Pass. Well, this will help in the future. And your government, you know, it's really hard to raise money. So, you know, we'll take care of the you're not from Joe County part by having an established location, but... You know, we can't help the government part. We don't act like a government when we're delivering meals, but some people have that fixed in their mind, and they're just not going to budge from it.
Well, they're looking for criteria to rule people out, not to find a way to get them in, because there's so many people who are asking.
Right. And there's a lot of money in the county.
When do you need to know by?
Oh, I mean, we're waiting on these three... you know,
the contractors moving forward
but we have, you know, we have the funding until, I mean, I think we're probably looking at October or November to know for sure. Roy Lindsay suggested that we do a little press thing, groundbreaking with the Courier and maybe one of the TV stations, just okay, we're finally getting going. You know, imagine this looking a little better than it is.
Yeah.
So at that point, it would be nice to have the funding wrapped up.
What
but if we don't.
Who are the clients that are predominantly served here? Are they all Josephine County? How many come from the city and how many come from the county?
That's where that 60-40 split comes in.
60 in the county and 40 in the city.
Right. So that's why we had to raise.
Like if the delta got reduced to something around $60,000, if you had $20,000 of grants come in, that we would do, you know, the city would do a 60-40 split with the county on that $60,000 delta, that we would do 60,000 or what would it be?
60%.
Well, yeah. Grants Pass is already given 241.
Oh, so we have a definite.
Yeah, that's, I looked at that too.
Yeah, that was a.
Ours is the 9.7, right? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Have you ever set up? Do you have the ability to? I don't know. You know, when people pass away,
endowment.
Yeah,
requests.
Endowment requests or something like that. You know, somebody that has used this facility. I knew a lady years and years ago who used to come to the meal program over here when it was at Washington School.
Mm-hmm.
And she would drive her Mercedes down there. And she'd pay for her meal. You know, mm-hmm. It was the camaraderie and the being able to sit around and talk with other people.
Right.
You know, and that was her value. But she owns, I'm not even going to say, but she was quite well off. And I didn't know if at the end of her life, if you had something offered to your clientele that says, you know, if you pass away, you can put an endowment back into this, you know, and you need it for operations or whatever, you know, it would be.
We have had a couple of bequests. We do have an endowment, but they're all from Jackson County. Fundraising's tough in this county. We raise, you know, I've looked at it, county, including client donations. About half of our budget comes from locally derived funding for the entire meals program, and only about 8% of that local funding comes from Josephine County. So,
and most of that comes from Grants Pass, City of Grants Pass, I think.
More than likely, yeah. So client donations are less here, fundraising is less here, and Josephine County gets about 35%. To 40% of the meals, and they're less than that in terms of the population. So actually, the county gets more meals, and we get less funding locally from the county. So it's just.
But that's also indicative of it's a higher poverty level than Jackson right. County, and I mean, as far as the job wages and everything else, I mean, it's right. such a discrepancy 30 miles away of what you could get paid compared to here, and so, yeah, and we're receiving the welfare of Jackson County. But we don't have the people to make the contributions in the same way. And if they are, they're making them towards the kids or the things that
right.
they...
Right, and so we've struggled. So, I mean, luckily we did get the All-Care money and a little bit from Primary Health. But other than that, as you can see, the individual donations, we're talking about, you know, just over $9,000. And we have tried. But we also didn't want to mess with our normal fundraising for operations. And so we didn't want to confuse the issue because then operations gets it. And then we live the absurdity of reducing service so we can purchase a facility that's meant to improve the level of service. You know,
yeah.
That's a tough one to answer a question on. So.
Well, I'm adding up, you said, I'm adding up $126,000 from Collins, Cheney, Carpenter, and West.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you got just a very small amount from individuals. For these,
Oh, these are all foundations, yeah.
From here, from Josephine County?
No.
Four-Way okay. Foundation is.
Four-Way, okay, yes, you're right. Four-Way is.
Okay.
But right. Collins is upstate, OCF, obviously, but Cheney's up, not from around here. West is Jackson County.
All of these are ones that all the nonprofits are hitting up.
Right.
When I was on a serving center, these are all the same
exactly.
foundations
yep, sure.
we hit. And when in working with ADAPT regarding this treatment facility that we're working on, this is the exact thing that they're facing with all these foundations is nobody's doing brick and mortar anymore.
Yep.
And so everybody's kind of up to a how do we fund things that traditionally would come through foundations.
I need to make a statement. If I need to get out of here in 6 minutes, if you could take over for me, then that would be great. I have an engagement with the attorney.
I can. Why don't you contemplate this?
Yeah, we'll read this.
Well, I'm going to make a suggestion. We should know about all these three in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
What I can do is, what if we look at the amount remaining and the COG would do a match with you, a 50% match? I mean, we have a little money in our sock drawer that we could put towards this non-Food and Friends money, because they've done enough at $109,000.
Okay.
So yeah, we could just do a 50-50 match.
That's a great place to start.
Yeah. Okay. That's so great. I'll let you know.
Okay. So you can let us know in a couple of weeks about these three at the bottom, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then we'll go from there.
I have one more request. Well, it's not a terrible one.
It keeps on coming, doesn't it? Yeah.
You know, we thought we were going to get started on construction a little earlier. The grass is like 4 foot high.
Yes.
Is there any way we could get Public Works to go in there and cut that back?
We need corrections.
Yes.
We need corrections.
Okay. There's a cable across. What I can do is run out to Diamond and get a couple of keys made. May I bring them back here and just leave them with you guys?
That's great.
Okay, so that's for the cable. Okay, let me go make sure which ones are which. Go to Diamond, and I'll come back and leave them at the front office. You guys are great.
Who's replacing Lisa?
We have interviewed one person, and we have one more person to interview today, basically as soon as I get back, and we will hire one of the two. And if I think it's the person I know, tons of experience and excellent references, a lot of grant writing, a lot of HUD grant writing, but she knows the federal system really, really well. So I think we'll have a good replacement. And I don't want to do it anymore. It's crazy making. So.
Michael, I think it's really important to highlight for this board, for the reference of this meeting, that the things that you're looking to provide through this facility, they're virtuously beneficial to the Josephine County area. Right, the contribution from the county as a whole is not, you know, par with what the benefit is to the most vulnerable in our population. And so don't think that that's lost on us as far as, you know, what your organization, the COG, is doing. We wouldn't have the capacity, the depth, to be able to facilitate this in-house and what we're doing. It seems a little tangential to our charge as a county. We just appreciate that there's somebody willing to do it and go through all of this headache in order to make it happen. So don't feel like you're the redheaded stepchild of this whole program. It's just, it's your piggybacking on everybody else who has another need that comes.
I know, I realize that.
And so that's the cumulative effect of this conversation and the tone, if it all feels like we're not 100% supportive of what you're doing. I think it's a good program, and so we want to be helpful, but it's got to be creative and it not just looking like, you know, the bus shelters that were built for $109,000, when really you just need a place to get out from the weather a little bit, right? So why does that need to look like Taj Mahal or cost so much? So anyway, there's 100 needs in every direction, but we'll take it into consideration, do everything we can to help out. Especially we had the 4-H board in here last week, and it's just always trying to make that, you know, the kids get along when they're all having to share a room. As much as, you know, it's good character building, I think the characters, we're all stocked up on character now. We just want to figure out, find a way for the kids to have their own room and as soon as possible. So anything we can do to help that effort would be great.
Okay, and we're thinking of talking to 4-H and see if they want to at least, you know, for the time being, utilize that back portion of the property, because they don't have much of a place.
They
to
really
do.
Don't.
We will talk.
To plant a garden in there or something.
Yeah, work on it. You know, have some equipment back there and do their thing back there.
That would be great.
And they got that Strong Women program that is for older women trying to keep healthy and stuff like that. So there are some partnerships there that maybe...
We will look into that. And finally, you know, I didn't want to sound like I was complaining. I was just... It's been a long, tough process.
Yeah, seriously.
And I feel good about turning what I said in the beginning, an eyesore, into an asset.
Yes.
Because last week, Ed lives next door, and we're going to allow him to continue to have boat access for his property. He keeps an eye on the property, and he's the one who called the cops on the person dealing meth out of the shed.
Mm.
On the side of the building. So, I mean, it'll be nice once that's functional.
Yeah, exactly.
The neighbors won't have to worry about that stuff anymore.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing.
The proverbial rats will scatter.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And I don't have to go because Mr. Williams only wants law enforcement today. Strictly talking law enforcement. No politics, so that's okay.
All right.
I don't understand that, but I'm sure that Sheriff Daniels and Ryan Welcomes will carry the water quite adequately, so that's good.
Well, shucks, we thought we were going to get rid of you. We'd get something.
Yes, you guys are starting
to get rid of you. We were going to have some fun.
Well, no more back to the 50.
Give you something to do.
No more cars on 6th Street.
First sign of leadership, delegation.
Cars are too loud.
Dan, you got some things. You're not leaving.
By the way, you're now liaison for 5 more projects.
Got it. Shucks.
Okay. So we're done with food and friends. I'm moving on to item number 3A, community development. Julie Spelter is here. Item A1 is resolution number 2018-028 in the matter of redesignating the Rogue Enterprise Zone for the unincorporated areas of Josephine County.
Okay, so I came a couple weeks ago and asked if there was interest in redesignating the Enterprise Zone, and told you we would be having a meeting with some information and coming back with a resolution. So that's where we're at right now. We had a meeting last week with our taxing districts and shared with them information about the zone, why we're redesignating, and what has changed. Now we're at the point where we need a resolution to support that if we're going to move forward. And I just want to let you know real quickly, the two biggest changes with the Enterprise Zone is that before, the Rogue Enterprise Zone covered all of Josephine County, including the city of Grants Pass. Now that they are part of that metropolitan statistical area, they have to break off and have their own Enterprise Zone. So the Rogue Enterprise Zone would be everything in Josephine County except Grants Pass and its urban growth boundary.
Why not just the MPO designation?
It had to include the urban growth boundary. That's what we're the
all
advice
of the
we got
MPO
from
the MPO is within the urban growth boundary. What are you saying?
So our, and you don't have this map because it's just a draft right now, but so ours includes everything except Grants Pass and the urban growth boundary.
Okay.
Their Enterprise Zone would include Grants Pass and the urban growth boundary.
Sure.
The Grants Pass one would. But basically, we're all still covered.
Yeah.
It's just that we're going to be two Enterprise Zones now instead of one. The other big change is in the past, we only...
Why the urban growth boundary? I mean, you've got taxing districts that are going to be in both Enterprise Zones.
They are, and that's why we held the meeting jointly, because we had such an overlap.
Right. Irrigation districts, school districts, they don't follow the UGB.
Right. That's
what
why
does? Not even the city follows the UGB.
Yeah,
it's there's no consistency. You go to the MPO, and we're clear over into Jackson County, butting up against
that would
Blackwell
be consistent if it's the designation of the MPO. Well, not the MPO, the urbanized zone that gives you the MPO also gives you this. Would be interesting if, why won't they just use that boundary of the 50,000 person threshold, 50,530 or whatever
right.
it was. That would be defendable in my mind, logical. This is what qualifies you. This is what it's going to be.
Yeah, and I didn't look at that. I just looked at what we're told.
That is,
okay,
that
great. That's
great. That is Drag Rogue River. That's been Joel Hill.
Oh, that's true.
And the MPO.
That's probably why it doesn't.
They're over into Jackson.
And they're already part
miles.
Of, there's like three of them over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay.
And it really doesn't matter for us because it's not like it's a different pot of money or anything.
Does it seem challenging for the assessors to navigate two Enterprise Zones?
I don't think so because you're still asking...
districts.
Because when a business asks for that credit or that abatement, we're still asking that same taxing district, whether it's from the city or the county.
Okay.
So. But the other big difference for us is historically, our enterprise zone only included commercial and industrial properties, which means if you're a trade sector business, you can get that tax abatement. In our county, we also said, or if you're a hotel, there's an option that you could also do it for hotels. So our county years ago decided they wanted to offer it for hotels, too. But what happens is we never included the Serpentine Zoning District, and so we never had a lot of properties that we could offer this enterprise zone abatement through. And with the Serpentine, it's a non-resource zone, and it does allow some businesses that could qualify as traded sector. So on this map, what we did was, this time around, we included Serpentine within 1 mile of a state or federal highway, which really increased the available properties for the enterprise zone. Basically, it's the rudder
really
block.
Really close to that threshold of a number of acres or something?
Just there.
Great.
So we can't exceed 15,000, I think, and I think we're at 14,000. No, we can't exceed 15 square miles, and we're at 14.25.
Great.
So
I was going to say the mile designation is
right.
Kind of restricted. But you couldn't go any further even if you wanted to. So that just sounds fine.
Yeah, so we've really enhanced what we could do. One of the things that's not in the resolution that I'm going to add for when I get back is we have to, so what happens is your northernmost and your southernmost available properties can't be more than 25 miles apart, so you have to ask the state for a waiver.
Yeah.
I already talked.
How much?
25 miles apart. And we're, like, yeah, we're 52 40, or something 50. Like that. So, so we need a waiver. And the state said, Julie, you can either include that in the resolution. He told me that after we submitted it to you. Oops. Or we could include it in the letter from the board that sends it to the state. And since we do have time, I'm going to slip it in here so it's all in one document.
Great. I like that.
The only other thing I have to tell you about this is that I've asked Cave Junction twice, you know, do they want to be part of this? And I haven't gotten any response. So now I reach out to the city council president, and we're going to try and get it in June. This has to be done and submitted to the state by the end of June, or it's going to expire. So just so you know, Cave Junction is not on board. I'm pretty sure they're going to be on board with it, but they still have not approved it.
That changes the number of square miles? But we've got the balance. Why don't we put them in there, and we can always pull them out?
That's what I have done.
Good.
And the
it's
only
easier to pull them out than to try to fit them in.
Right, because if we can go ahead and approve it, and then they can, because theirs is a supporting resolution of what we're doing.
Right.
And if they would say no at the last minute, we'll have time to come back and just pull them out. But I'm pretty sure they're going to. I mean, we're already working with somebody. They're in it now.
There you go.
If we put them in all inclusive right now, and you say their resolution will be a supporting resolution, if they just don't support it, they're still in whether they want to use it or not, right?
Yeah, I think politically we'd probably want to change it, though, because they're called a sponsor.
We don't want them to feel left out. I think that's the bit of
they
always
get that feeling already.
I'm pretty sure they're going to renew.
I bet they will.
It's just that they've been pretty busy down there. So,
you know, Kenny and Kate might be the conduits for getting Dan and the administration over there.
Kate is the one who helped me. She's because I was telling her that I've been reaching out to the mayor, and she said, well, he has a new job. And so she set me up with the city council. I met the city council person at our conference 2 weeks ago. And so I've been working with her. So we're going to get it done. It's just that I wish there had been more time to do it.
Is it just something they just haven't had time to put it on their agenda, or are they getting pushed back on discussion?
No, I think it's just a matter of timing, because I've been dealing with the mayor, and he apparently has a new job, so he hasn't had the time.
Yeah, he's not re-running
it. Yes, so I switched my contact, and now we're making headway.
Great. Kind of on this subject, if the board will indulge for just a second, I had coffee with a friend of mine who's pretty good friends with the guy who owns Rogue Truck Body out there. That's been something that's been on the radar for, you know, a decade. We gave them some sort of economic development incentives back in the day, a loan or a grant. They went through the tough times in California, and they're the last dog standing on top of the hill. And he's poised and ready to do all sorts of great things, expansions. I'd like to see the availability of a lot line adjustment with that neighboring 100-acre property that was used to be that old mill site, or whatever it is that the county can do. But I think it's that kind of thing. We need to triage that business out there in the highest poverty rate in the state in Kirby, and just say, what do you need? We're going to work. We're there. 110%, Keith. Just tell us what you need, and we're going to go get it for you. And I think that would be a great example of how we can go from the bottom in Kirby and try to make that foundational, you know, it's like Taylor sausage in Cave Junction or anything else. It's that goes away, and that town will just blow away. And so Keith is not a real good person to ask for stuff. He's not into understanding all of, not to say that he doesn't know his business, because he knows his business, and he's making the decision to not relocate to his yard down in the Bay Area. That would probably be the right place when he gets a call from somebody and say, you're in Kirby where? And I'm ordering this to Southern California. Yeah, we'll truck it down there. Don't worry about it. That's the trucks that you see going on 199 all the time, heading south. He makes the best trucks on the West Coast, and bar none. So I couldn't do more of a plug, but I'd lay down in traffic. If that guy needs something, we need to.
So I have had some.
I have a vessel stop traffic for you so you don't get run over.
So I have had some initial conversations with someone who said he could. He didn't know if the company could afford the entire lot. And I said, they don't have to buy the entire lot. We can, you know, if the owner is willing to just sell them enough to meet their expansion needs,
do a lot
we can
adjustment.
Do that. And they're like, oh, I didn't realize you could do that.
Yes.
But I just had that conversation like 2 weeks ago.
Good.
So
I'm meeting with Keith tomorrow.
Are you? Well, reiterate that if you want me there. Let me know.
Yep.
He doesn't need the whole thing.
No. It's 110 acres or something like that.
He just
needs there was a lady in my office the other day, and I think she seemed to indicate she owned it.
Oh, the property, yes, that's owned by a woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very dynamic.
Yeah.
Very low key that you've never thought.
Huh.
Very, very intense, though. And she has some issues with down by the river and stuff, some activity down by the river and stuff. So I turned over to Sheriff Daniels, so soon gets out.
Yeah, Public Works has a yard down there adjoining it on the other side of that street. And it's often a place where people are accessing the river and it.
Yep.
Some serious erosion, but it's not. I don't think it's public access is contributing to it. It's a band in the gravel soils down there.
So just a final note on that business is Business Oregon and Soretti and I have been out there and did a business retention visit last summer, actually.
Yeah.
And so, and we had told them, you know, if you want to expand, this is what you can do. So we have, we're trying to save them and keep them in.
Well, they're not in the crosshairs right now.
No.
And what I think, Soretti, Business Oregon, I think you understand this, they're not a business that's going to tell you what they need. I want this grant. I want this blah, blah, blah. You need to tell them. Here are the three things that are available that I think that you would benefit from. Because if you don't spell it out for them and say, here you go, they are so busy. You know, Keith's doing four different jobs, trying to keep it afloat, trying to expand it, and then he wants to integrate into the high school with a welding program.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And all that. He doesn't know step one. He needs to hand it to him.
He's a hands-on guy.
Yeah.
He's a service technician that started his own business. He knows he's a real good repairman.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know squat about
the bureaucracy.
Not his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And you get to big enough to where you all of a sudden you need somebody. You know, I'm losing this thing because I don't know what I'm doing, and that's when
he can run his operation. He just doesn't know how to take advantage of the opportunities.
I can help.
His idea of expanding is to work 12 hours a day instead of 10.
Yeah.
Because that's all he knows. Because I'm telling you this from experience.
You've been there.
Because I've been there.
Yeah.
Well, let me know if you want me at the meeting or if you want me to follow up.
Follow up is going to be.
I think I'd be proactive on it more than anything else.
I stop by there at least couple times a year, and there's a couple of my high school friends still working there, and it's a great place. They love it. Good atmosphere, quality man who's running the operation. You couldn't ask for a better business industry and a guy who believes in the community. I mean, he just lives down the street, his whole family, you know.
But he's doing there too, which is really neat, is he teaches a different type of welding than your typical welder. So these people that are graduating, you know, with a welding certificate, or I'm not sure what they're really called, but they don't necessarily meet his qualifications because his is a special kind of welding.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to get him in the school to teach that.
But he does hire straight out of the RCC welding program as well,
right?
Even before they're all the way
down.
Well,
they have the basics, but he has a certain BES that make it.
It's intense.
The exact same way.
But he hired one of my probationers, and it was just one of those things that all I could try to do is don't quit school. I know you're going to work, but finish your last two classes, see it through. You know, it's just kind of one of those things, but he was excited to get that
job.
There's that
exposure element that we're talking about. You know what? That kid can sit there underneath the welding helmet all day long and love it.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets done at the end of the day and goes, wow, look what I created. That's good. It's all good stuff.
Okay. So,
that's good.
Can this move forward to Wednesday's meeting for adoption?
Yes.
I have no trouble with that view. Okay.
Thank you.
Good deal. Okay, we're done with 3B. Let's move on to 4. Item number 4, financial report and business update from Finance Director Arthur O'Hare. Would you step up to the podium, please?
state your name and address. So two things that I wanted to bring to the board's attention is that we do have June 13th, you're at your weekly business session, the hearing for the approved budget. So we're advertising that. And
is it recommended?
It's the approved budget, the budget that was approved by the budget committee. And so that's what you're considering and taking public comment on.
That's 13th?
That's June 13th at the weekly business. And so at that point in time, we tentatively scheduled then the adopt the budget at the next weekly business session, June 20th. In other words, that gives you time to consider the approved budget and the public comment and all that. You know, or as far as that goes, if there's nothing of substance that would be changed, then you can adopt it at the June 13th hearing too. I will put together the list of potential changes. We have a couple of I'll call them Scrivener errors, but changes to it won't change the overall budget. It'll just change the allocation between cost codes, and then I believe the board wanted to tweak your FTE budget a little bit on that too. But I'll get a list of what I feel are the potential changes to each one of you. Probably be ready tomorrow, but I'll just say the beginning of next week. I'll put that together. In addition, then we also have some supplemental budget changes that will be tentatively scheduled for the June 20th weekly business session. They're all just more or less cleanup for the current year, the supplemental budget for the current year. The major thing is going to be the payback of the Public Works. Yeah, the SRS funds payback Public Works. So that'll be the major piece of the supplemental budget. But otherwise, there's some cleanup. We've contacted all the departments, trying to get any feedback from them. And again, when I put together the adopted budget potential changes, I'll also give you a list of the supplemental budget potential changes so that you'll have that a couple weeks ahead.
One of the reasons I was clarifying adopted as opposed to recommended is what is it that we pass? Is it the approved budget? There's a misunderstanding about which budget is actually the budget. So I think for you understanding the clarity of how it goes forward so that I understand it, is in my mind there's always been a recommended budget coming from the budget committee. There's only one adopted budget. The board does that at the end of June and stuff. So that there's just clear definitions about which budget we're...
Yeah. I think technically you have a proposed budget, and that's the budget that I put together under the guidance of the board and direction of the board. That's the proposed budget, and then the budget committee, they approve the budget.
Okay.
They approve the proposed budget with changes or without, whatever, but that becomes the approved budget. Okay. That gets published in the newspaper, and that's the budget that we are going to have a hearing on June 13th. So that the public can comment on the approved budget. And then the board has the option to make some changes or whatever, you know, you want to do with the budget, accept it as is, make changes, whatever. And then the board adopts the budget. And then the adopted budget is the official July 1.
That makes perfect sense.
That's the end.
That makes perfect sense.
And then you have to adopt the budget before June 30 in order for us to have authority to spend money on July 1.
Okay. So that's great. There now.
Okay.
And those are the...
I won't be here on June 30th, just so you know. It's a Saturday, and I won't be here that day.
So we'll try to get it adopted by June
29. I probably will be here on Sunday, but not for Saturday.
July 1. Trying to get by without you.
I wish Julie would have been here, because I was hoping that we could talk about something, and I forgot, is the... I really see... There's a lack of focus with our economic development, and I know Commissioner DeYoung probably feels this way. I've been exploring what other counties are doing as far as focused in on that, and I'm not sure that this is a well-thought-out recommendation, but I just want the board to mull it over as far as reducing, and we've done stuff like this in the past, of reducing commercial business types of permitting. We don't have a business license per se, but there are permits associated with starting up a new business, having expansions of businesses. I think that should be free. It should be half off. It is a fundamental driver of our economy, and the county shouldn't be looked at as an impediment. And what a way to go forward as far as, you know, yeah, you have to go get the permit, but don't worry, at the end of the day, it doesn't cost you anything. So maybe not doing it up front. You know, you have to put the upfront cost in, but if you complete the permitting process and get your certificate of occupancy, or you finalize the expansion, you'll be refunded all of if you see it through the completion. What I don't want people doing is starting out and getting a development permit, then they actually, you know, they didn't have to pay for it. So there's really no incentive for them to go all the way. I want this well thought out.
I'd make it like a deposit.
Yeah.
If you go all the way, and now you're employing people like is intention, then away you go. Have we ever run any kind of just straw thing? We did this in the city. You remember with Don Carter? I sent him out with a dental lab thing when we had the Michael Black came back with his stuff and what SDCs were. We kept saying, you know, why do we have 8 building permits and they have 300? You know, why, and Roseburg just growing, just falling off the vine, and we don't even have any seedlings. And of course, when we ran the numbers, we found out that the city of Grants Pass was, because you asked government, we're never in the way. How could we possibly be in the way?
No, they always said they were at the lower end.
How in the world could we possibly be in the way? Well, I came back and they, a long story. But we found out that we were the high mark on the wall, and therefore, if you were a dental lab, I used Don Carter out, and it said, if you're a dental lab, you're moving here from Boise, Idaho, and you want to be on the South I-5 region, go to the 5 Ashland, Central Point, Medford, Grants Pass, Roseburg with the same set of plans and see what it's going to cost you to get started down this road. Have we ever done that comparison between Jackson County, take a set of plans that are consistent, go to Jackson County, say, I want to do this, I want to do it in Josephine County through our planning, send somebody in there,
yeah,
not knowing that it's from started
yeah
anywhere, and then go to Douglas County, do the exact same thing. Have them type it all up and say, this is what your requirement is.
We have done a fees comparison, but I would bet you the biggest deal is the availability. And you go into Jackson County and they say, I want to do this, where are the available shovel-ready properties yeah that we have? You've got 30 options over there, here you've got 2.
Yeah.
And that isn't really the planning.
Then that's where we focus our attention.
Yeah.
How do we get more available land?
Yeah.
Like we're talking Kirby out there.
That's the industrial park and having, you know, a sewer and water system yep that facilitates yep it.
Maybe
that puts opportunities.
But I'm not against waiving fees to get started because we have other obstacles in Josephine County, and this
would
identify our obstacles. On just taking the 3 counties, and maybe even Clamp.
More recently, feedback I got wasn't the cost of the fees, it was how long it takes to get them. That they can go over there and they'll pay twice as much, but they'll get them like that, and they'll be able to have their business built and in operation,
yeah,
where it can take up to 2 years to get ours done, and why is the investment? So the length of time it takes to get through our process is what stalls us out with businesses, not the cost.
Well, why don't we address both? You guys had a proposal in the city that if anything isn't permitted or blah, 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 30 days or 60 days, whatever it was, 6 yeah months, it comes before the board, and it's a decision of the board, and we up or down it, you know, right there. Because there could be valid reason why it took 6
that line
months.
For applications
yeah
for, like, you know, if you want to have a softball tournament at Reinhardt, and if it was not approved in 30 days, it came to the council, it was a done deal. We made that decision.
I'm looking for ways to expedite and remove those barriers
that we
could control. We've got economic development funds that I think we could dedicate towards, you know, and that isn't a huge revenue element, covering costs, and it wouldn't be a negative to the program because they still get their resources. We're not just giving it away before the person is actually legit and not willy-nilly starting. You wouldn't want to do it for somebody who just makes a business of the idea of, oh, I'll go through all the permitting process, it won't cost me anything, and then I'll sell it to Joe Schmo over there for twice as much because it's already done and ready to go. I'm not sure that's not a good business plan, but I don't know that that's what I want to, you know.
Get started.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've got some. We just had some really good ideas. We need to write those ideas down.
And why does it take so long to get through the permitting process? I know we always hear, well, there's these deadlines that are required by the state. No, those are maximum deadlines.
They don't have to be that.
Correct. They can be shorter. And is that a staffing issue? Or is it a procedural issue? Is it a, so that's what I'd want to see is how do we be more efficient in getting things done quicker to see if we can move. I mean, the sooner a business gets their doors open, they could be making profit. The longer they're waiting to get their doors open is costing them money.
What I struggle with is, like, Rob has come up with that great idea of having a pre-conference meeting with everybody. Why weren't they doing that before, A? And what are the other things that other municipalities are doing, and how come we're not being approached with more of those creative ideas? The fact that I'm trying to come up with something is the backwards way to do it. Because, A, I've never started a business in my... I've never started a business. I'm not the program director. I'm not the area expertise. I just feel that there's a void there of creative thought, of way to solve these things. We need to find a mechanism to make positive stuff. So let me jump out with Julie on this and say, this is the board's direction. Here's an idea. You come back with two alternatives or a way to make ours work.
I think because we have a so ready, we just give that charge to them and we don't think about it here. And then we criticize why their results aren't what we want. But yet, a lot of that stuff needs to be fixed in this room to help out, like planning, for instance. If you're saying planning's a hang-up, then we need to get those tools over to planning, give them those tools so that, so ready, when they do send somebody this way, planning isn't their hang-up. Mm-hmm. I see exactly what you're saying. So, it's all good stuff.
The other one I had, Arthur is here, is that, so we had talked earlier about the marble muralette uplisting and it affecting county-owned properties. There's three counties that are partnering and retaining a quasi-lobbyist, I would say, a representative of the counties, to represent us on the state board of rulemaking under Oregon Department of Forestry. Tim Vanderberg is the gentleman that we've recruited. AOC has retained. The three counties' cost is $10,000 apiece to have him sit on this. He's already been approved to sit on this committee to help refine and make rules. What I really like about Tim is he used to work for the tribes, and so he's still quasi-representing that perspective as well, and that's more powerful than our three counties' perspective, because frankly, when the tribes sit down and say something, it resonates. And so he's a good friend of mine. He's a perfect person. I didn't recruit him or select him, so there was no conflict of interest there. I just know him from the timber side of things. He used to manage the Cow Creeks timber holdings of 6,000 to 10,000 acres and has done a really good job. So that's the ask from AOC. It's Coos County and Douglas County that are the other contributors, and I think they've agreed to do their $10,000 to make up that. I feel that it's worth it. I feel that
so our obligation would be 10?
10. And I feel that the forestry program should probably bear that responsibility out of the forestry trust. It's a mechanism, a tool to keep them in business. Our holdings are subject to rulemaking authority, given that some of the forest lands that are down in this region are subject to the 50-mile. I think the 50-mile actually comes in, from a coastline, if that's the rulemaking that they're looking to adopt. You can see the teal areas that would be affected potentially. It isn't marble muralette territory. I could almost stake my life on that. They're just drawing because this is the most challenging topography in the entire West Coast. Marble murelets are not flying over the county offices to come nest in trees that are not ideal habitat. This is not a coastal range because it doesn't have the moss on it the way, you do in Coos County and other places. It doesn't really matter. When they draw a line on a map with crayon and they say this is the territory for nesting and stuff,
and it never gets smaller. It's always going to get bigger. It's just like Wild and Scenic Rogue River stopped at Grave Creek. It stops here. And it's going all the way to the dam.
Our opportunity to make it small is right now. They're drawing that crayon and saying, Tim arguing that, no, this is not This is not habitat based on climate, propensity for fire, size of trees, diameter of limbs, all that stuff. So, I think
we keep pounding the same drum over and over and over and a half for years on the lawsuits and all the other stuff. It's time we get a different sounding drum. And maybe that's it for $10,000.
It's one of them. I've got another proposal I'm working on a little bit later, and I'll bring that to the board next week or the week after for trying something different on the same thing, but on the national level for OLC. So this is our holdings. The other thing to consider is that I had a conversation with Representative Wilson's chief of staff yesterday, that he is not backing down from the proposal that I had to say that those counties with less than 3% of the state's holdings, which are these yellow marks, be returned to the county and incorporated into our portfolio. The way we should have done it, we should not have relinquished them back in the 50s of the state for their forest trust. Our revenue that we've generated from them is just terrible. And they're nice pieces of property and would work really well in our portfolio. We get those back, but then they're part of this rule that we can't harvest them. What good does it do?
They're in liability.
It's not just the property we have now in our portfolio. It's if we get these back. So that's where I'm looking at this $10,000 investment as being pretty well spent for the future of our management. So.
Well, I have no problem with that.
Mr. Morgan,
you on board with that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's we'll move forward with that agreement with an AOC.
That'll work.
Yeah. Okay. The other one I'm bringing forward is going to be pretty cutting edge. I haven't asked for anything like this since I've been in office, but it would be special advocacy at the national level to encourage the secretary to move forward with an interpretation of the ONC Act in a real strategic way to say, this is what we're doing. This is what Congress told us to do with these 2.4 million acres. BLM, you will do that. So that's my goal.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of details on it.
Any other questions for Arthur today?
I think I'm good.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Dismissed. Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you.
Under other, I don't know if this is a time to say it under other business, but received a resignation letter from Peggy Anderson at the fairground. She has I'll accept this with a caveat that you come up with a plan. And so she has been working diligently on backfilling her position and so on and so forth. And I think she's going to have a presentation to the board. It may be this afternoon. I think we've got a meeting with them this afternoon, I think. Maybe not.
No.
But I have a meeting with them. And maybe that's when she's going to spring her plan on me, and then we'll bring it to the board.
Okay.
But I'm interested. I said, you're on a trajectory out there, and I don't want this to be a downturn, and trying to backfill your position and do damage control. She's got a plan, I think.
It's a letter of intent. She's not resigning tomorrow.
No, it's not like she's, I'm out of here, but it's coming up fairly quickly. I really don't, to be quite frank with you, she presented it to me and I haven't opened it up yet.
It's effective at the end of August.
I will look at it and see.
Which is really key. Before hearing the proposal, we really need to evaluate, just on the face of it, do you hire another manager, because that recruiting.
Well, this is her, and I'm going to leave that up to her for right now, and then we'll bring in what she thinks is a good idea. I have heard her say in the past that she would like to stick around and just do the fair.
Right, contract and back.
Contract back to Josephine County to do just the fair, which would pull that burden off of a new fair manager.
Right.
Facilities manager, whatever. And I think, that has some merit, but we'll need to discuss that as the board.
Sounds good.
And see what you think. So, okay.
Okay.
Item number 6A, anything else under other?
I did want to, I forwarded to you guys the email. It was in the paper yesterday that our immunization levels and compliance with children immunizations is the lowest in the state. There's some groups that will be focusing on Josephine County for assistance and just education about immunizations and such. I believe it's a very intentional number in our community. People are intentionally not...
I don't think it's a lack of education.
No,
I mean, they may say that the people who advocate for immunizations...
And I would say that others say they are quite educated, and that's why they're not taking part.
Yep.
So, and that's fine. The numbers are what they are, but I just want to make sure you're aware.
The long end, okay, I'm sorry, but I'm going to shift gears again. But we talked about doing... when we have our commissioners' KJO radio thing, doing just a department with the liaison there for a whole hour,
mm-hmm.
It might, I just kind of going over schedule in my mind, I thought, well, I do airports next month, but I think timing needs to be. I would like to do, for the June meeting, I think you with parks, because that's going into the park season, and you and Sarah doing the June KJO thing, and then I'll do the July one with the fairgrounds, because that'll be prior to the fair, and you do the August one with health department, you know, featuring the health department.
I'd like to lay this out
prior
honestly, because we've got, when is the airport days?
It's in June now. They moved it up from September.
It might make more sense to have airport days in June. You know what I mean? I
want to lay this out. But it might be after the event.
It might be. It probably is. It's the last Tuesday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay. So let's you
okay.
Know, let's just let's just throw that out there. When you think?
Yes.
Because I know July. I would like to do fairgrounds in July because it's prior.
I think that's
prior to August. You know, prior to fair time.
That's a given.
And the August one would be prior to school.
Yeah.
Get your immunization message out there. Maybe. What's entirely up to you.
Let's just write it down.
You
know. Let's just. Okay. So we got next month. We'll figure out.
Yeah. And I was just thinking you and Sarah, because it's starting into summer and people are using the parks and summer.
The other one to consider is Sarah Rubrecht, as far as going into fire season at some point.
That's another one. That'd be
nice.
There's no reason why you couldn't do two.
That's
true. You know, I don't know that there's enough of any one program. I mean, there probably is, but would it get dull or...
Yeah, hard to say.
The end.
We're going to have to try it.
Yeah.
I've been up there, and you've been up there, I'm sure, by yourself. An hour goes by just like that.
It really does.
You can just rattle on.
I don't have
on.
A problem.
None of us sitting at the table have trouble talking for an hour, I guarantee.
Or two.
Arthur, of course.
You'd be surprised I get home and I don't talk.
Yeah.
My mom came up to me yesterday, and I was at her house for dinner, and she said, I'm not offended that you're sitting here not talking, because I know it's probably the only time in your day you're not.
Hey, I've been married 48 years. You go home, you listen. You don't talk. That's a listening.
Yeah,
you know, through the door, you become a listener, not a talker. But anyway, just keep that in the back of your mind.
Yep.
You know, I think it's an opportunity and changes it up, but it also keeps us from all three of us having to go out there. And by the time you drive out and back here, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours you can be doing here.
I don't want to rule out elected officials either. You know, that there's an opportunity for them to... showcase their programs and stuff.
Basically just an hour update.
Yeah. I really endorse the idea of changing it up from just the Board of Commissioners, that we really showcase the county,
yep.
And it's almost an extension to the state.
It's not showcasing
county.
Us.
Let's work out a schedule and be intentional about planning.
They make us look good, so we need it. They're the ones that need to send their message. Okay. Moving on to Board Business 6A, the resolution number 2018-029 in the matter of appointment of the Emergency Medical Service Board. And Commissioner Morgan, do you have a
yes,
report
so
on this?
We have some really limitations on our membership on the Emergency Medical Services Board. There's been some recommendations of the group that we're working on to bring an ordinance forward to amend the original ordinance as far as the membership. But one of those positions that we have not been able to fill was an emergency room physician. What we have is the emergency room manager, and that's who applied. So we're plugging in the technicalities of things. Paul Smith at an at-large position. But the group as a whole, he's the emergency department manager at Asante, And they're the ones that receive the ambulances bringing in people into their room. We need that feedback on the board that oversees the ambulances. And so the fact that Paul's been willing to step up, he doesn't have his doctorate, but he is the nurse manager and emergency department manager. So we can't technically fill him in the emergency department doctor position, but that's essentially the role he's filling. So we're suggesting an at-large placement. And this is a piece that the group has said for a while has been missing and unable to recruit that doctor and will be a beneficial position.
So then he will be the at-large and this position?
Well, no, we have to get the ordinance amended to allow it to be emergency department representative versus emergency department
position. Then would we need an at-large then?
Maybe down the road, but okay. For now this will kind of fill two stones unofficially.
Okay. Mr. Harry,
sounds good.
Okay, so we want to. I'll entertain a motion to. Well, let's just move forward with the consent counter. Does that sound okay?
Yep.
Okay. And item 6B is the Sprague Commons flat plat map. That's tough to say. Flat plat map.
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Okay. Matters from commissioners, item C.
I think I've talked about most of
them. From my standpoint, I really want to see how we can utilize these next few months as far as often we'll hear Commissioner Herr mention, I have a plan for that, or I've been working on that. There's a lot of information that you have from just 8 years of experience of managing the county that...
it'll cost you. I'm not giving it.
I know. I'm just trying to figure out how do we... Okay, that's true. Starbucks gift cards. We might need a... But an opportunity to be intentional about, okay, the facilities and all the ideas and all the thoughts or, you know... Obviously, forestry is not one we're going to glean everything from, but we're starting to try to get exposure to those areas. How do we be intentional? I don't always know which questions to ask of, but I believe that part of the legacy that you have is the continuity of the operations of the county, and there's a great deal of information that you have that I know we can't possibly learn all of it.
One of the things I was hoping to do, and, you know, it's really up to every board has a different tenor and how they want it to do or how they want it to go, the urgency. I'll be perfectly honest. One of my greatest fears is that there's a complacency. There's a, you know, when things are seemingly easier, people just get into a sedentary mode. And I don't want to be like that. I feel like I'm going to charge. I want to get it, you know, let's move on to the next thing. And my weekends are spent just thinking about stuff like removing commercial price, you know, permitting fees and whatever it is that we can do. Part of my plan for this final year was to put into place the forestry ordinance that we're going to be moving forward, the strategic plan for facilities, both the location of them and then the broader platform of properties and how they all work together to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. A long-term plan with maybe an IGA, but the library, that they're not always going to be there, and Arthur's chomping at the bit for them to be gone tomorrow, but the idea that maybe we provide them some sort of an opportunity for property, and then they bond out the building element of it, it frees up this element, and it complies with our charter requirement that you will provide for libraries. So there's that balance. All of these things, you're right, Commissioner Morgan, they're in my head, and I'm trying to put them down on paper, that there's this long-term vision of 20 years of where I see this place going into the future. The problem is that there are little things that we should work on, that there isn't a mechanism to put them down. It's if I'm not in the room, I don't give that perspective.
I view all of this as part of the transition. The transition should not start on January 1. The transition should start now, when the two remaining commissioners can start picking your brain as to where you want to go, so that at the end, you are fairly certain or you have a reasonable expectation that although you didn't get it done, it is going to carry on into the next deal as part of your vision for the future. Because it shouldn't, you know, your ideas and your brain children should not stop on December 31st or January 1. You should have a reasonable expectation that it isn't, the ball isn't going to get dropped.
I think one of your guys is, because we didn't do a goal setting. You know, this isn't all on. I'm not getting paid to just be this idea generator. I can come up with pages of things, of accomplishments, right, and stuff. And frankly, other boards, I have trouble coming up with other boards actually doing.
But we have. You've got three people. There's three people sitting here right now that are thinking well beyond today.
Absolutely.
All three of us are considering, okay, I'm going to go up to myself and Dennis Dixon, and now Michelle Baker wants to ride along, and we're going to go up and look at that giant project for the next 2 years. And she goes, whoa, wouldn't that be swell?
Right.
I said, I think it's a doable thing. And if we're going to do it in 2 years up there at the Cape Chalet, you know, let's go up and take a look at it, see if it's even feasible. So we get these things that are exciting and things that we can hang our hat on coming up. Grishmore, you are no slack. You're thinking all the time, and to move this thing forward. And that's, I think, but we don't want it to stop when you leave. If you've got some unfinished business and untied knots, then we want to make sure that we know what your direction is, and if we agree with it, we just move forward to it to finish it off.
Yeah.
I don't want it to just stop.
Yeah.
You know, because I think we've done a lot. If you go back in the last year and a half, there's been an awful lot accomplished by this board. An awful lot. And I think, you know, we get criticized from a handful of people. But I'm sure you hear it, and you hear it, and I hear it. The majority of the folks come up and say, hey, you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. You know, even after all the controversy out there at the sidewalk thing, I'm getting calls now that, well, thanks for sticking by your guns. I thought, I almost want to say, why weren't you in the room?
Where were you?
Where were you? I needed some support here, and we needed support
alongside
to get it going.
But, things are going well.
But we did. We stuck by our conviction out there, and it's going to be a good project. But we have a lot of those things going on here, and I don't know how we can do it, but I would like to see us try to write it down somewhere so we know what we're looking at. Does that make any sense at all?
Well, when we talked about coming into a strategic goal planning, incorporating, I mean, at some point, even maybe a retreat with managers and elected officials as far as a direction for the county and outlining something further before the start of next year and working towards a plan of incorporating in buy-in from staff and departments on, you know, we talked about that briefly with the five-year plan and the budget this year, but really giving a time for everybody to be involved in the room and having some visioning and that process going, correct. And what does that look like? And what would that process, do you facilitate it? Do you have somebody come in and guide through that process to get an end product that we can say, all right, this is where we're on board to go right now, or no, we're not on board with that. But we don't really have a mechanism to hear it, or sometimes ideas do bounce off of other people when you're in the room, you know, and so just having that opportunity, I'm not talking about a lot of expense. I'm not talking about going out, you know, to Morrison's or something like that and disappearing. I'm just saying, but having an intentional time that we actually sit down, I think there'd be benefit. We have the managers' meetings on a monthly basis, but it's one commissioner. Every once in a while, it'd be nice to have that with all the commissioners and actually have a sit down with the whole team and say, all right, what do we need to be talking about?
Okay. Let's give that some thought.
Yeah.
Put something together for this summer. I agree. We shouldn't let Commissioner Hare get out of here without him spilling his brain out here and let's pick through it and see what's in there. See if there's anything.
I don't know. What did
Mr. Trujillo say? And I may have a document made up of this, that he has reached his usable.
Usefulness?
What is it?
Usefulness?
what he does when he's getting ready to sell off cars.
Fully depreciated.
And he says fully depreciated, and one commissioner is fully depreciated and has outlived his useful life to the
county. Oh, that's exciting.
Just kidding. Anything else on the matter?
I think there's still a lot of horsepower upstairs.
He's got it.
Crazy thing is you get these 8 years of foundation. You don't have to start. Right. You don't have to go. Nobody has to explain to me the North Valley Industrial Park or forestry program. I'm well versed, I think, in almost everything. I can start thinking about where do we want to go with it. What can we do with what we've got? Mm-hmm. And there's so much potential right now. I think this board is in the best place we've ever been to say where do we want to go with the county.
Mm-hmm. We have a choice now.
Yeah.
It's not survival. It's now we can grow. So anything else under matters? Commissioner Morgan?
No.
Commissioner Hare? Seeing none, we are adjourned at 10:50 a.m.